Thank you very much. So I must thank Dr. Gadhua. As you have heard it mentioned earlier on, he is the best there is when it comes to matters chest. So Menelik, his clinic on Menelik Road stands out. But the most thing, one of the things that for me stands out about him is his commitment to Christ and his walk with Christ. He remains a mentor. So God bless you as you continue impacting lives both physically and spiritually. Yeah. So in the interest of time, I won't take so much trying to introduce myself, but receive greetings from Sheila, my wife. Her prayers and wishes are with us today. She would have wished to be here, but circumstances made it untenable for her. But her greetings and her best wishes. So I was invited to speak about health. And I was wondering how to convert health medicine into a sermon. But I came up with a title, My Health, His Honor. And so for me, my objectives are just as the title says. One, to help us understand that it is my health, so I have a responsibility for my health. Number two, his honor. Why is it that my health is his honor? Why should he be bothered by my health? And so that's my second objective, to make it clear for us that indeed it is my health, but it is for his glory, for his honor. Yeah? And what shows that he cares? What shows that really it is for his honor? I'll take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. And scripture says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God, because you're not your own?" And verse 20 for me is what stands out the most, that you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They are his. And that's why he has to be concerned about your health. That's why he has to be concerned about your well-being, because he bought you at a price, and the price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin and for my sin, for your redemption and for my redemption. That is why he is concerned about your health. I was looking at your bulletin, and this takes me to what I wish to talk about next. Really, what is health? And the WHO has an interesting definition of what health is. Really, it's a complete state of physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So there are different spheres of your health. So when you talk health, we're not just talking about the malaria that you may have. We are talking about what happens to your psyche when you have that malaria. We're talking about what happens to the society and the environment around you when you're sick. And we've seen a call for support for your colleague who has a chronic kidney disease and needs transplant. What goes on around his family? What goes on around his life when it comes to matters chronic kidney disease? It is not just that disease. There's a psychological component to it. There's an emotional component to it. There is a spiritual component to it. Then there are the other factors, the economic component to that. And all those play in a key role in contributing to the entire well-being of a human being. So that is what the WHO defines as health. Not just the absence of disease, but a good state of both your physical, the mental, and the social well-being. Now, that's, you will notice that there's so many things that will affect our health. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a spiritual component that comes into your social well-being, that plays into your psychological well-being. There's influence from your workplace, there's influence from school, there's a lot that goes into making you complete as a healthy human being. And I wish to take us briefly through just three of those components: the physical, the social or the mental, and finally the spiritual. And then wrap it up by just emphasizing the fact that really all this ought to be for God's glory. Now, to the physical health. We often describe diseases into two, or they're bundled into two, because there are too many, but there are those that are considered to be communicable, those that can be transmitted from one person to the other. Mainly are infectious in nature, maybe bacterial, viral, fungal, communicable diseases. We know them, the malarias, the flus, HIV and AIDS, infectious diseases, most of which are communicable. But then there is a rise in our setup of what we call non-communicable diseases, such that if you're coughing next to me, I can't get hypertension. I can't get cancer when you're coughing next to me. They're not easily transmitted from one person to the other, except from genetic or familial backgrounds. But we are seeing that these are the things that are on the rise. Talking about things like hypertension, where your blood pressure is higher than what is normal, and that brings with it several risks. The risks of heart attack, the risks of stroke, the risk of kidney failure requiring transplant and dialysis, hypertension. Then we talk about diabetes, where your blood sugar is higher than what is expected. And that again causes the same risks to the systems that I've mentioned, whether it is your blood pressure, causing your blood pressure to be poorly controlled, causing damage to your kidneys, causing damage to your heart, causing damage to your eyes, and even causing strokes. Then we talk about obesity, where your weight is higher than what is recommended for your height. Now that puts you at risk of both hypertension, it puts you at risk also of diabetes. And if you have those two risks together, then your risks for all the things I've talked about, from stroke to kidney failure, are high. So these are things that are no longer a problem just of the West, because previously we would attribute this to be problems of the West. But in our setup, our lifestyles, our environment are putting us at risk of both hypertension, diabetes, as well as obesity. Then we talk about mental health. And I speak today with a lot of heaviness in my heart, because yesterday one of my team members committed suicide. And it's, you know, you think it is remote until it gets too close. Then you discover these are the people who are very happy, or portray to us that they have made it. They are the people who give us the impression that they have it all together, but deep within, they are burning. And I will give us a few statistics about mental health when I get to that point in a short while. Then we talk about cancers. I am certain that each and every one of us knows at least someone who either has cancer or has been affected by a loved one because of a loved one who is undergoing treatment, or even have lost a loved one because of cancer. And so it is in itself a significant component that affects our health in this time and age. Then we enter into the territory of Dr. Gadhua, chronic lung diseases. They are also an entity that are a significant cause of death and ill health in our society at this point in time. And as I'd mentioned earlier, we have often referred to this as diseases of the West, but they are catching up with us. And the painful bit about our African setting is that it's not just these things, the non-communicable diseases, that are catching up with us. We are also having a significant burden of the communicable diseases, the diarrheal diseases, TB, the malarias, and HIV and AIDS. So you're being attacked as an African from both ends. But the question is, what is your responsibility in handling this? And now, just to emphasize the essence of this non-communicable diseases, do you know that I've been speaking for the past about 3 minutes? That's about 180 seconds. Do you know that in those 180 seconds, 90 people have already died because of non-communicable diseases the world over? I've just been speaking for about 3 minutes. Essentially, every 2 seconds, someone dies because of complications related to these non-communicable diseases. And that serves to emphasize the role that we must play in trying to combat this as a Christian. Yeah? So what is your role in addressing the non-communicable diseases? Largely, the infectious diseases and the communicable diseases, really we know we need to wash our hands, hygiene, ensuring that you clear the bushes so that you don't have mosquitoes around you. The talk has been there. What about the non-communicable diseases? You play a significant role in trying to prevent this. One is exercise. You need to stay physically active. And it is recommended that if you're able to afford between 30 to 45 minutes, at least 3 times a week, of exercise that makes you sweat and makes your heart beat really fast or makes your heart race, then that in itself is adequate exercise for that week. So I essentially don't compel my patients to register to a gym. These are simple things you can do at home without any additional cost, and you're able to ensure that this helps stem your role in taking care of this temple of the Holy Spirit. Because you're not your own, you're bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, avoid alcohol. And there was discussion about what amount of alcohol is safe. So a study was published by The Lancet about a month ago. Previously, there was a discussion that a glass of wine a day is good enough for your heart. It has now been shown that even that glass of wine a day is harmful to your health. So from the scientific side, there is proof that alcohol should be avoided. And that is a recommendation, avoid alcohol. Then avoid cigarettes because of the carbon monoxide and all the risks, because any cancer that you want to think about, cigarettes are a significant cause and a risk factor for that. Any of those non-communicable diseases that I've mentioned, cigarettes play a significant role in perpetuating them. Then in terms of diet, eat less salt, eat less starch, more fruits, and more vegetables. And for those who are already on treatment, hypertension, for diabetes, whether it is cancer, then ensure that you adhere to the treatment regime that you have been given. We believe God heals, and that's why he's given us doctors, so that we do our part and we leave the rest to God. So we must be responsible for what we can do. Yeah? And scripture also makes reference to the value of exercise in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it says that for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that now is and that which is to come. Still emphasizing that there is some role of physical exercise in our health. Now, when it comes to mental health, and I will link this up with what alcohol does and all the other risk factors, but I just thought to emphasize a little bit on mental health, because there has been a significant push to try and fight hypertension, to try and fight diabetes, to try and fight cancers. But we are not talking enough about the silent killer in the room, and that is suicide, mental health, depression. Do you know Another interesting fact, that every 40 seconds, one person commits suicide. So, for the time we've been speaking, do the math, find out how many people have actually died because of suicide. And that in itself should help us understand that we need to take action to ensure that we are all mentally healthy. Mental health really speaks about your social well-being. And back to what we mentioned in the definition of health, there's a physical, yes, there's a mental, there's a social. When you're stressed out, particularly in this time and age, we know that well, with taxation, life is hard. With the cost of corruption, life is hard. With unemployment, life becomes unbearable. So you have all the degrees that you may want to have. You've done your best in school, but then there is no job for you. That in itself becomes a trigger for mental illness. So the pressures of life, it could be from relationships. Relationships at the family level, whether it is in the family unit as a spouse, a husband or wife, as a child or a sibling in a family. It could be relationships at your places of work, your relationship with your colleagues, your relationship with your boss, the pressures from work. It could be financial stress when we know we are living in difficult times. Then there are other mental illnesses that really you can't control because there's a familial component to it. If it runs in the family, sometimes there's nothing you can do to prevent it except now relying on the spiritual to address that. But Proverbs 17 verse 22 intimates something towards the value of a sound mental state. That a merry heart does good, it's like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 17 verse 22. And I keep asking myself now in reference to my colleague who passed on yesterday, what was my responsibility? What would I have looked at to ensure that I was on alert to pick out the signs? The signs would be in their talk. You'll find that most of the themes in their talk really center around loss of value for life, them feeling as if they are a burden, them feeling as if there's no value they are adding to life. Looking at their behavior, these are people who would want to portray they have it all together, but then you discover that there are things they used to have interests in, but they no longer fancy them. Loss of interest in things that they used to love. They are people who would be outgoing, but then all of a sudden become withdrawn. These are people who would be well composed, but then all of a sudden there's a change in their comportment to the extent that they become very reckless in their lives. Reckless to the extent of excessive indulgence in alcohol or in risky behavior, things that they are not necessarily known to be doing. But as we do that, we must also not forget their mood. Are they constantly anxious? Do they show any sign of being depressed? But the question we'll ask ourselves is, why should we be concerned? We should be concerned because we ought to be each other's keeper. And so every time, even today in the morning, as I was asking myself, as I was trying to just process this thought and this talk, I kept on asking myself, would I have picked this in my colleague? But my prayer to all of us is that we will be alert to those around us so that we are able to be there for each other, we are able to stand with each other, we are able to offer a listening ear and a supporting shoulder to them that need it, Because suicide, as we have said, is a significant killer. Silent and surprising. Silent, yet affects the most unsuspecting. So let's be on the watch out for that. But the risks for mental health, alcohol still stands out. And again, an interesting fact on alcohol. Do you know that every minute, 6 people in the world die from alcohol-related infirmities or complications? Whether it is because of violence in the bar and someone was stabbed, whether it is because of reckless driving, because of driving under the influence, whether it is overindulging in alcohol until people die sudden death, whether it is in itself as a result of chronic use of alcohol that you end up with liver disease, whether it is because of the long-standing use of alcohol to the extent that you develop cancers of the liver, whether it is because of alcohol causing even coma, do you know that 6 people, essentially every 10 seconds, one person dies out of alcohol-related deaths or complications? So that's why, as a people in this congregation, being in this age bracket, it is important that we take that into consideration and play our role in avoiding alcohol and advocating for avoiding alcohol even amongst our peers. And the Bible is interesting about this. I'll just choose one verse, Proverbs 20, verse 1. And it says that wine in itself is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. So my prayer for us is that we may gain a heart of wisdom to avoid these things that are risky for our health. And why should we do that? Because from my title, it is my health. And it is my health, therefore it is my responsibility. But it is my responsibility, and I will take that responsibility seriously, because in itself is an act of worship. It is an act of honor to God, because I am not my own. I was bought at a price. And towards the end, because I'm told we're meant to have Holy Communion, my spiritual health. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 22 is what I wish to emphasize. They are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. If you're well in the spiritual realm, if your spiritual aspect is well, then you find balance for the rest of your health, whether it is your mental or your physical. But to do this, I like what I see here from 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 6, 7, that unto faith add goodness, unto goodness add knowledge, and add self-control, unto self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, unto godliness kindness, and unto kindness love. Then with this, your spiritual health will be effective and productive. So the challenge to us is to ensure that we have our spiritual health intact. And it's not on your own. That's why God has given us his spirit to guide us towards this. So let us seek him through and through, that he may help us to find balance in our lives. Because when we do that, then we will find health, and we will find peace that surpasses all understanding. So ultimately, God is interested. In Jeremiah 33, verse 6, he says, behold, I'll bring it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. That shows you God is interested in your health. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, still trying to emphasize the fact that God himself is interested in your health. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So the final call is to each and every one of us to take action. What is it that you can do? You cannot control your genes. Yeah? That's your biological makeup. You can't control that, at least at this point in time. But there are those things that you can do, particularly as relates to your spiritual health, as relates to non-communicable diseases. There is that that you yourself can do. Whether it means adjusting your diet, whether it means adjusting your lifestyle, there's that role that you can play. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, that's a very interesting thing, that how I eat should give glory to God. How I drink and what I drink should give glory to God. That what I do, whether in word or deed, must all be in God's glory. And with that, I will still wrap it up and urge us to remember that it is my health, yes. I have a responsibility for it, yes. But I'm doing it as an act of worship. So may you go on even as you live out your health, knowing that you're on the altar. And may your life be a sweet-smelling aroma to God as a sacrifice to him. Because it is your health, but it is for his honor. May God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are reminding us that you are deeply concerned about our health. You are at the core of it, Lord. And as we walk this walk of life, Lord, there are many things that are going on, but we pray that you will stabilize our physical health. Give us the grace and the discipline to take care of our health. May you be with our mental, our psychological being. May you give us peace. May you give us joy and calm that comes from you. We pray, Lord, for our spiritual health, that, Lord, we would grow in honor of you, King of Kings, that our ways may reflect you at work within us. And in all, Lord, may you be glorified. For this we pray, trusting and believing in Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.